Next, I will be talking about residual ash as substrate amendment for nursery production. Louisiana is the third largest rice producing state, so we have plenty of rice husk. And the rice husk, after burning at high temperature as biofuel, it ends up a very fine ash. And Powell Corporation, the company, has the biggest rice mill. They're interested in developing horticulture products out of their low-grade rice hull ash. It has a pH alkalinity and chloride all within the range for acceptable application to grow crops. And it has a high content of silica, which gives it structure more like a sponge. And we hope because of that structure, it can hold water and nutrients. Other than silica, it has a high concentration of potassium, phosphorus, magnesium, calcium, and also manganese. So it can be considered as a fertilizer tool. A literature review indicates residual ash can be used to increase yield in a lot of agronomy crops, including rice and tomato, and also improve quality of tobacco. And this picture shows corn seedlings grown in residual ash. For nursery production, we use pine bark as the primary component of our substrate. And for the last 5 to 10 years, there has been concern about availability and also price of pine bark. So there has been a lot research on alternative whole tree-based materials. One problem with these materials are they have lower water holding capacity and more air in them. So this is where the residual ash may fit in as a water holding to increase water holding capacity. So our objective was to evaluate this ash as a substrate amendment to grow knockout rows in a grower's pine bark mix. And then we're going to learn from this study and move on to the alternative substrates. We wanted to know how much water is going to increase and whether or not it's going to leach out the container, whether or not we can grow knockout rows with it, and if the leachate concentration of the nutrients will be of concern. We did two experiments. In the first experiment, we started categorize this pine bark, a grower's pine bark mix, through different sizes of screens and into 6 different size categories. And we found actually the finest category, the finest one, was actually a very high percentage, 39%, and this is the one that holding the most moisture. There was no plants involved. We had 3 substrate treatments, pine bark only or pine bark plus 10% residual ash, either mixed in or top dressed and incorporated. These are the 2 possible applications in the nurseries. And then put them under drip line. This is a drip line, there's a meter every 6 inch, or under overhead sprinklers. Our drip system includes the drip lines going up to the pot, and then the water is going to come down through a funnel and get collected in a beaker. The overhead irrigation system include the sprinklers on risers, and then the pot, the number 3 pot, was sitting on an upside down 6-inch pot, and the leachate was collected on bottom, and the whole container was wrapped to prevent water getting into the bucket. Over a 30-day period, we did 3 irrigation events, and we weighed the pots every day. These are the weights of the container from after the first irrigation, and then they were irrigated again when the container weight of the pine bark treatment dropped back to the pre-irrigation level. As we can see, the container weight of the 2 ash treatments were much heavier than the bark-only treatment, and the maximum container weight of the bark of maximum container weight of all the treatments were increasing over irrigation events because this is under drip irrigation, and the drip irrigation wasn't able to thoroughly moist the substrate. Under overhead irrigation, the container weight was much higher than the drip irrigation. The substrates were all thoroughly moistured, and they were pretty consistent among the events. We calculated container capacity by subtracting the initial container weight from the container weight after the first irrigation, and CC under drip irrigation was much higher with the ash treatments compared to the pine bark. The ash treatments added additionally 160% to 180% water holding capacity to the pine bark only. Interestingly, evaporation was also higher with the ash treatments, so the estimated irrigation interval for a targeting CC loss would be affected by both of these factors. And the overhead irrigation, there was a significant increase of water holding capacity with 10% ash versus pine bark, but it was lower in percentage because the pine bark water holding capacity was higher than the drip. We collected leachate, filtered, and weighed to collect all the particles in it. As you can see, the pine bark had the highest particle in them, and actually the ash treatments had much lower, especially the top dressing treatment had much lower particle in them. And we didn't find any significant amount of the ash, so the ash stayed in the pine bark. Experiment 2 was conducted in the spring, and we had plants in this experiment and used knockout rose pots, which is a little bit larger than the number 3. We had 4 rice hull ash rays, 0, 5, 10, and 20%. Thoroughly mixed in, we have 3 aged plants, and all the treatments were fertilized with Harrow's fertilizer. These are the rice hull ash rates. You can see the color getting darker as the rice hull ash percentage increase. And because it's a very fine ash, so the pine bark in these treatments were the same volume. We just put the percentage of ash adding to it fill up the air space. And these are the 3 cutting edge. This is because it's possible at the nursery they may have to hold the cuttings until they are able to pull them up. So we wanted to see if there's any difference between different ages of cuttings. And the 4 weeks and 8 weeks, they are slightly larger than the 2 weeks at transplant. This is the greenhouse setup. They were set up on benches and irrigated from the drip line. And this drip irrigation system was designed to deliver separate treatments to each of the drip lines. So the 4 rice hull ash treatment were connected to 4 separate lines to be able to water separately. And then the maximum container capacity was determined at the first irrigation and then adjusted after each irrigation event. And the irrigation applied when container capacity for a specific treatment dropped within the range of 20% CC. Irrigation was stopped when leaching was observed, and additional amount of water was added, especially for those treatments with ash in it, to target the 15% plus minus leaching fraction. We measured plant growth, and also leachate sample was collected at 2, 4, 8, and 12 weeks after treatment for 3 very important nutrients, total phosphate, nitrate, and ammonium concentration. And these are the plants, how they look at 6 weeks after treatment. As you can see, with the increasing rate of the ash, some of the plants do look they are healthy and larger size. And for the week, especially for the week old, 8 week old, started to flower at 6 weeks after treatment. So our next question was to look at plant growth and to see how the ash rates affect plant growth. And this is the figure of size index, that's height plus width plus perpendicular width versus rice hull ash percentage. With increasing rice hull ash rate, we have a positive quadratic response. And it seems like the two-week-old cuttings responded pretty good, up to about 10 or 15% of the ash rate. And then either plateauate or a little bit kind of going down a little bit. And above media shoot dry weight was the same trend. And then we look at if there are any concerns on leachate, the nutrient concentration. There was actually no difference in nitrate and ammonium among all the four rates, and these were not affected by the age group. And when we look at phosphate, total phosphate concentration, we can see that with increasing rate of the ash, leachate phosphorus concentration increased proportionally. If we look at the four sample dates, the 2 week after treatment was the highest. Over time, it turns to decrease a little bit, but there was no significant difference statistically between the first three samples, except the last one by 12 weeks after treatment, the leachate concentration was significantly lower. So the exact concentration of total phosphate, it was about 300 at 20% mixing rate, and it was about 200 at 10%. And these are of concerns because the regulated phosphate runoff rate should be less than 0.1 parts per million, and these are very high. Even at the low rate at 5%, it was about 40 to 50 parts per million. So these are considered high leaching of phosphorus. Look at EC, which is salt level. It's a general salt level for all the nutrient possibly leaching out, and we can see at 10%. It starts to increase significantly at 10% RHA, and with these were measured at different times, and with 20% it was really high. The EC was about 5 to 6, and that was really high for a lot of woody ornamentals. But we didn't see any salinity or wilting with the knockout rows, because knockout rows, they really can take really high EC. To summarize this study, the rest of ash remained in the pine bark, and this is possibly because we have a fine mixture of pine bark in it with whole tree-based material, which size could be larger, and other larger size particles we need to test to see if they can stay. And 10% rest of ash increased container capacity tremendously, is affected by the irrigation method and also the initial container moisture. There was no negative effect from red salt ash on knockout rows, but because of that high EC by the end of the experiment, we need to look at other crops that are sensitive to EC. The biggest concern was phosphorus concentration, and this will be something we have to address before we can use this material for nursery production. And with that, I can take some questions.
Yeah, I have one.
Yes.
You know, you make sure that your phosphorus then equals the goal. That's nearly 100. And as you mentioned correctly, then the level EPA allows only 0.1 milligram per liter or 0.1 milligram per liter. Because from goal only, that's nearly 100. And all the good ones go up to 300 or 600. So really,
yeah, that was okay. The question was the EPA regulated phosphorus concentration was 0.1 parts per million. That's in fennel quality. That's to regulate water quality for drinking water.
Now that's for river water.
Yes, river water or water body, for water body.
Yeah.
Yeah. But the problem with nursery runoff is it's going to be above that all the time. And with the basic fertilizer, we used a Harold fertilizer, which is 17.46. It has some phosphorus in it. And with that background fertilizer in there, even without the red salt ash, there are going to be phosphorus level that more than that 0.1 parts per million coming out of the pot. So for nursery, it's considered non-point runoff, And the current regulation, we don't have any regulation in Louisiana, but in some states where it's regulated, is required to have a catch-up basin and to treat that water. And also that water is going to be diluted with the rainwater and your other catch-up from your property, but still that is a concern.